Well, I had no idea who was going to be here today for church. The Lord knew already. He knows everything. And I'm really troubled about my sermon topic for the day. But I feel compelled to go ahead and teach this lesson. Last Sunday, what did I preach about last Sunday? Anybody remember? Heaven. We talked about heaven the whole morning last Sunday morning. Kathy over there said she was on this vacation trip with her daughter back in the beautiful mountains and Smoky Mountains and all of that. And she said, I listened to your sermon on heaven and I thought, you're saying that heaven is more wonderful and beautiful than anything that we ever have seen in the whole world. And she said, I kept looking at all this beautiful scenery and I thought, how can anything be prettier than this? And I felt that same way many times and do quite often even now. If heaven would be like these beautiful places, it'd be all right with me. But certainly we found last Sunday as we talked about heaven that it's more beautiful than anything that we can ever imagine. And we looked at that during the lesson last Sunday morning. Well, the opposite from heaven is a place called what? Hell. And so I feel compelled to talk about the other side this morning. And we have children here, and I want to be very cautious about that. As we talk to children, we're concerned about what they hear and what we tell them and what they need to know. As a result of the fear of talking about hell, many people just don't talk about it. Parents don't talk about it to their children. They're afraid they'll worry them and scare them. Preachers don't preach about it because he's afraid that folks will not come to church and listen to hellfire sermons about hell. And so many preachers have just stopped talking about it altogether. Those in the growing fabulous churches across the world have pretty well concluded that they're not ever going to talk about hell because modern people just don't want to talk about it or listen to it. If we leave that subject out, we have left something vitally important out of the Word of God. And that's why I feel compelled this morning to present and for you to look in your Bibles and let's just think a little bit about the place that is called hell. I'm going to start with Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Last week we were in Revelation chapter 21 and 22 and we talked about heaven, that glorious and wonderful place. But in the same inspired Word of God that's told us about heaven, the same inspired Word of God tells us there is a place called hell. In Revelation 20 and verse 7, beginning there, and when the 1,000 years are ended. Now he begins, and we'd have to go back and look in the earlier chapter there about the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon the earth, which will take place. He says, and when the 1,000 years have ended, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. That old rascal, the devil, has been in prison. He'll be loosed out of his prison where he's been for 1,000 years and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up out of the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints round about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Yay! Kim had the children in Bible school. They were sitting around here, and every time they'd say a particular thing, the children would say yay or make sounds. And this would be one time that we should all clap our hands and say yay, because the devil is the one who has caused so much trouble in this world and in this universe. And the devil finally that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Yay! Praise God! Hallelujah! No more devil. Isn't that wonderful? That ought to thrill our hearts, because he is the great enemy of the soul, the enemy of God, the enemy of all that's good. And we see his works in the world today so vividly. And the devil was deceived, that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for how long? Forever and forever. Amen. Give it to him. Give it to him. The devil has deceived this world. And because we gave in to the devil and sin, all the problems in the world that are existing today, every problem, every sorrow, every disease, this COVID-19 and all the other things can be traced to the fact that the devil is involved in all of it. And we as Christians believe that with all of our minds, with all of our hearts. So he's going to be tormented himself day and night forever and forever. Verse 11. And I, this is John the apostle who's having this vision, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. Now, one note here, those who are standing before God, both small and great, are the lost, the unsaved, the unbelievers, from the beginning of time until this time. At this great white throne judgment, I will not be there. If you're saved, you will not be there. Anyone who is a child of God will not be there. This is not about us. It is about the lost. And this is why, as we look out over the world and we think how many lost, unsaved people there are and what is going to take place to them, oh my soul, it breaks our heart, and it should cause us unrest day and night trying to get the good news out to the lost. But here he sees a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Oh my, this may be some of, probably of my friends and my relatives, those in our towns all across the world, those who do not know Christ. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Here they are, those who have rejected Christ, those who have never heard about Jesus, I believe, will be there too. And they are going to be judged out of the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now keep in mind, these are not believers. They are not Christians. They do not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have never been saved. And there are millions and millions, probably billions, of people who are going to be at this judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, we as Christians, we are going to a judgment called the judgment seat of Christ, but this ain't it. This is not what he's talking about. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was also cast into the lake of fire. Boy, I'm sad about that. That's a horrible thought. Now, some of us don't think too much about it. We watch movies about all, some of the young people and some of the older people as well. They love these motion pictures where there's fire and brimstone and destruction and all this kind of stuff. I've seen it and you see it also, and some people, that's what they love more than anything else. They won't like those sweet movies like Ms. Anna and I watch when we're watching Netflix or something, those tender good things that we can cry. They like all that. Well, this is, you see, people are used to this sort of thing and thinking about it and talking about it. And some people love it. That's what they just live on, is violence and trouble and death and destruction and all of these things. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Boy, I wish we could just stop right there and go to chapter 21 where we were last Sunday, because I'd a whole lot rather talk about heaven than to talk about hell. But the Bible preacher, the Bible Christian, the person who is truly believing in the Lord, must come to the place where we present to the world this terrible truth that when people die, when anybody dies, they go to one of two places. They either go to heaven or they go to hell. There's no third place or fourth place or other place. There are only two. And the world needs to hear that. And that's why we as believers in Christ and believers in the Bible have been left into the world to tell the whole world about Jesus, because he's the only way anyone can escape this terrible, terrible place called hell. And that's why the gospel is good news. It is good news that there is a way to escape. At our vacation Bible school thing the last night, Anna wanted me to go over the plan of salvation again. And she said, why don't you tell them again how they can be saved? So I did. And if you watched that, you could see me give that plan of salvation. And she said the last night, she said, why don't you tell them a little bit about heaven? Because before, when you told the plan of salvation, you didn't tell all the people. And not only will you be saved and live for Jesus in this life, but when you die, you will go to heaven. And Ms. Anna, she was wanting me to emphasize that. So Thursday night, I emphasized that on the video. That's the wonderful thing. And it should be one of the greatest thoughts that we can possibly think, is that when we are saved, when we die, we go to heaven and we don't go to this awful place that is described in this place. Oh, my soul. There are several words in the Bible that are translated hell. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, there is the word Sheol. Say it with me. Sheol. Say it with me. Sheol. That's a Hebrew word which means the place of the dead. It's more than the grave. It is the place of the dead. One scripture for that is Habakkuk, the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. And if Adam has it on your screen, it's in the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 5. Yes, also, because he transgressed by wine, he is a proud man, neither keeps at home, who enlarges his desire as hell, there's that word, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathers unto him all nations, and heaps unto him all people. Who enlarges his desire as hell. In the King James Version of the Bible, the word hell is put there. But the word actually is Sheol, and so it would be proper for the word Sheol to be there. In the Old Testament, before the New Testament days, in the Old Testament, Sheol was the place where the departed went when they died. And that you talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Noah and all of those others and all the people of God, they died and they went to Sheol. Sheol was actually the place not only of the saved dead, but also of the unsaved. All were in the place called Sheol, translated in some of the Bibles as H-E-L-L. You can study that a little bit later on. Then there's another word for hell that's translated hell in your Bible, and it is found in Luke chapter 16. And you're familiar with this passage, I know, in Luke chapter 16. And in this passage, the word is hell, but it is the word Hades. Let's look at this story. In Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. Boy, he was wealthy, had all he wanted, all he could eat, all the beautiful clothes that he wanted to wear. And every day, not just once in a while, but he fared well. Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar whose name was who? Lazarus, laid at his gate full of sores. He desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked at his sores. You like that sound effect? And it came to pass that the beggar died. Poor old Lazarus. He hadn't had anything good to eat in his whole life, it looks like. He gets crumbs from the rich man's table. Sores all over him, and the dogs even come around and lick his sores. It came to pass that he died. Verse 22. And notice, you can smile here. You frown when we talk about the dogs licking his sores and the poor man who had the bad days and the bad life. It came to pass that the beggar died, and look at it. He was carried by who? The angels. I believe in angels. You probably believe in angels. Some of you probably do not, but I do, and our Bible teaches that there are. And so it says here that the beggar, Lazarus, died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham, the friend of God. Abraham, you remember him from the Old Testament. Well, they always said after Abraham died, someone would die and they would say, well, he's gone to the bosom of Abraham. And many a spiritual song has been written about the bosom of Abraham. Well, the angels carried this poor beggar, boy, into the bosom of Abraham. Now, the rich man, what happened to him? Look at verse 22. And the rich man also died and was buried. End of story. I mean, the poor man, Lazarus, he's carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, and the man who had everything in this life, everything went his way, everything going for him. Everybody probably bragged about this man. It just says he died and was buried. Didn't say anything about any angels carrying him anywhere. And in hell, now there's the word that we're looking at today, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, my. And he saw Abraham afar off, and he saw Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, now here's the rich man. He's looking up. He's in torment. He sees Abraham and sees Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. You see, here in hell, now this is the word Hades, and it could properly be translated Hades, but they put the word hell in as they translated that here. So in Hades, in that place of torment, they know things, they feel things, they have concerns mentally, This is all a part of... And by the way, in my Bible, it is in red, this whole passage. And in my Bible, when the words are red, they mean what? They are the words of Jesus himself. Now, not all of the words of Jesus in the Bible, but when you have a red letter edition, it tells you that. All of these are in red. These are the words of Jesus, and they have great authority. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now you can read that and study that, and you want to know about hell and about what goes on in hell and the torments. Read about that, study about that, think about that. That is true. And our children need to hear that story as much as they need John 3:16 or any of those stories about Jesus. I don't really remember us ever having a vacation Bible school where one day we talked about heaven and one day we talked about hell and those things to the children. When I make up my Bible school lessons, I'll one day have that, include all of that, and teach those children the whole truth about what's going on in the Bible days. It's not just about the good, pretty, nice things. It's about those real subjects that are a part of our life. Abraham said, and here's what Abraham says, Son, remember that in your lifetime you had good things, and likewise Lazarus had evil things, but now he is comforted, and you're tormented. Things took a turn, didn't they, when they got to that place of Hades. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from here to you cannot. Now, Abraham is speaking, and he's talking to the rich man, and he says, there's a great gulf division here in this place called Hades, and those who would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. You probably saw that movie, Robin Williams starred in it. What was it called? It was a famous motion picture. And I want to see it again pretty soon. But anyway, he has to go into this place of torment to try to find his wife. And it's a real tender story there. But it's about all of that. He says, but here, you cannot pass from this place to the other. Then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they come to this place of torment. So here this rich man in hell, in torment. Now, he hadn't been to the great white throne judgment yet. That's all future. One of these days he'll be there, but that's all out after the millennium and all of that. But he is in a place of conscious torment at this very time. And so those who have lost, those who have not been saved, those who have rejected Christ Jesus, who have rejected the death and the blood of Jesus, they already are in a place of suffering. Just like our loved ones who have died are in a place of blessedness. They're not going to have to wait until the judgment seat of Christ, but they will have a place there. But they're in that place of blessedness even now. And so he says, send somebody to tell my brothers. Apparently those who are in torment and in hell today, according to this lesson, they are praying, oh, we don't want anybody to come here. One of my favorite family members years ago, who was not a Christian and loved a wild lifestyle, even I remember as a boy, but he would always say, when I die, I want to go to hell. I don't want to go to heaven. None of my buddies are in heaven. They're all, and I want to go where my friends and my buddies and my acquaintances are. And as far as I know, he did. I don't have any idea. I hope he didn't. But that was kind of his way of thinking. And the other day on Facebook, somebody, and I couldn't find it yesterday when I was looking for it, but somebody, some from our church at Nashville, put on there a picture of a girl, a real pretty young, probably a high school or college student, and she was holding this big sign. Some of y'all may have seen it. Holding this big sign, and the sign said, "I'm going to hell, and I'm proud of it." And the one who put that on there was saying, what a terrible thought. Here this young lady has a worldly view that hell is a place, and she's going there someday, and she's proud of it. And I'll tell you, she's not by herself. If we took a survey in America and the other countries of the world, I believe you would find many people. Of course, most of the people don't believe there's a hell anyway. And most of them don't think they're going there, even if they believe it. Surveys have been done and have shown that even though about 75% of American people believe there is a hell, only a very few believe that they're actually going there, even though they believe there is such a place. Oh, a place of warning is in order. Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham." Now here it is, this rich man in torment, wanting somebody to wet his tongue because he's burning up with fire, and he wants somebody to give him just water on his tongue, and he wants somebody to go tell his brothers not to come to this place. And Abraham says unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets." Now what's he saying? They have the Bible. They have the Word of God. They have the revealed scriptures. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That shows me the importance of preaching the word to the whole world all of the time. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In verse 30. But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, then they'll repent, then they'll believe, then they'll say, 'Lord, save me. I don't want to go to hell, this terrible place of torment.'" And verse 31, "And he said unto him," now here's Abraham speaking the authoritative word of God, "if they will not hear the Bible, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, if they will not listen to the word of God, if they will not understand and listen to what the word says, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Jesus told this story. He told this story so that I could have it, and you could have it, and your children could have it, all of your folks that you know could have it, that we could spread that word throughout the whole world for all time. So the second word, translated hell, what is the first one? Sheol. The second one is Hades, and that is the one here. In the Greek New Testament, it's Hades. It is the place of the dead. Both the saved and the lost, they're both there. Now, there's a gulf between them, and they can't go one place to the other, but that's the place of Hades. There's a third word, and I'm going to run out of time before I tell you all about all these. There's the word Gehenna, and it's in Matthew chapter 5. So look at this, Matthew chapter 5. Again, these are the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, you're in the Sermon on the Mount, the most beautiful passage in all the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount. And notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Jesus said, now here's gentle Jesus, wonderful Jesus, precious Jesus, one that we love more than any. Notice what comes out of Jesus' mouth. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, is that you? Some of you? Some of y'all out on television, wherever you are? That whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of, there's that word that you don't want your children to say. And sometimes the children will go home and say, oh, Brother David said the naughty word in his sermon this morning. He said the word hell. Well, I realize that we don't want the children saying that as a naughty word when they're cursing somebody and all of that. But it's not a naughty word here. It is a true, thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Those came out of the mouth of Jesus, our precious Lord and our wonderful Savior. Boy, that's a serious thing. And danger of hell. Now that word there is the word Gehenna. Gehenna. It's found again in verse 29. And look at it. And if your right eye offend you, pluck it out. Ooh, what a thought. And cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members, like your eye, should perish, and not that your whole body be cast into Gehenna. Now, they translated in this English Bible as hell, but the word in the Greek is Gehenna. Gehenna. Then there's another verse Jesus uses in verse 30. And if your right hand offend you, cut it off. Ooh, mercy. And cast it away from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members, like your hand or your eye, should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into, and the word there is Gehenna. G-E-H-E-N-N-A. Gehenna. But they translated it H-E-L-L as hell. It is, that's also the lake of fire. We read about that in Revelation. That is Gehenna. And really he used the word Gehenna outside of Jerusalem. There was this landfill. What do you call the place where you take your junk outside the city? Landfill? Take it out to the garbage place? And you go out to the garbage place and there's garbage. Well, in that day, in the valley of Hinnom, outside Jerusalem, it was the garbage dump. And they had so much garbage, all kinds of stuff, it burned day and night, day and night. Anytime you looked out that direction to the valley of Hinnom, you saw the flames and you saw the smoke and you smelled it all. And it went on for all through the lifetime of those who lived there, the valley of Hinnom. That was Gehenna, Gehenna. So when Jesus spoke about the future in hell, he used the word Gehenna, and those who were living there in that day, they all understood what he was talking about because they had to see the valley of Hinnom, the garbage dump, the smoke and all of that all the time. So they could understand what Jesus was talking about. And he said, listen, that's a terrible, terrible place. So far we've said in the sermon, there are several words translated here. Sheol in the Old Testament is the place of departed people. Those who have died called Sheol, translated hell in some versions. Then there is a second word, the word Hades. We looked at that. It's found in several places like Luke 16. Then the word Gehenna, we looked at that just now, the dump, the place of the lake of fire and burning and so, and Gehenna. And then there's one last word which is only used one time. It's in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And if God spared not... Now, writing this letter is Simon Peter. And you remember Peter, the rock, the disciple of Jesus. He said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, that verse tells us that there were some angels that sinned back at the beginning of the world. And that's another sermon, another lesson on that. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell. And that's another Greek word called Tartarus. Tartarus, T-A-T-A-R-U-S, Tartarus. And so if you translated that as you could, but cast them down to Tartarus, but it's the word hell that is used here, deliver them to chains of darkness, and that's where they are today. As I said, that's another entire lesson about the angels that sinned, and I've preached sermons on that since I've been here once or twice, I think. But whatever those angels were, whatever they did, they were cast in chains of darkness into Tartarus, and that's where they are right now in 2020, this very year. Those angels are there, and someday they will be judged by God. And this, of course, was a part of their judgment, reserved unto the day of judgment. Well, have I talked enough about hell this morning? I'll tell you what. Billy Graham's daughter wrote a book, and in it she talked about hell. And she put seven things the Bible reveals about hell. And this is the late Billy Graham's daughter. She may be dead too. Is she still living, Ann? She's still living? I think so. Anyway, she had seven things in her book about hell. Number one, if you're taking notes or mentally or physically... Number one, she said, hell is a place of physical agony, of mental suffering, and emotional sorrow. Well, Ann Graham, you got it right. I think her name is Lotz now. Hell is a place of physical agony, mental suffering, and emotional sorrow. Jesus said it was a place of gnashing of teeth and of weeping. Number two, she said, hell is a place of insecurity and fear. Boy, sounds kind of like America these days, but it's worse than that. It's a place of insecurity and fear. It is a bottomless pit. It is the abyss. Think of fear of falling, 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 always feeling like you're falling in imminent danger. Number three, and said hell is a place of instability. It's a lake of fire. Lakes change. They do. No firm surface. Always uncertain. Number four. Hell is a place of darkness. What last Sunday, what did we say about heaven? Heaven is a place where there is no darkness. There is no night. Jesus is there. No need for sun or moon in heaven. But here, hell is a place of darkness, no light. Morning and dawn never comes. What a horrible thing. Number five, it's a place of loneliness, of isolation, of no fellowship. Number six, she said, hell is a place of dissatisfaction, of fire, never satisfied. And number seven, hell is a place of eternal separation from God. Oh my, none of us in our right minds would ever want to go to a place like that. But the awful truth is that those who are not saved, those who don't know Christ, those who are not believers, those who are not Christians, those who have not been born again, are going to end up in this terrible place called hell. Now, there's three implications, and I'll close with this. For the unsaved, those that are lost, I mean, Jesus said we were to go into all the world and share the gospel. Why did he tell us that? Because the gospel is the good news that nobody has to go to hell, that everybody can go to heaven if they will trust Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the good news. And if you're not telling the bad news to folks about hell, then some have no perspective. Some people say, you know, just tell them all that they'll have a better life and they'll have happiness and they'll feel good and all this. That's a part of it. But you see, heaven only really makes sense when it's against the background of the judgment of God. Sin is serious. Hell is necessary. And there are many reasons we could talk about. Why is it necessary? Because of the justice of God. All these people these days in 2020, they're crying out, we want justice, we want justice. Whatever they're doing, however they're tearing up buildings and rioting and all that, we want justice, we want justice. Some family member gets killed, we want justice, we want justice. Well, God is a God of justice, all right, and hell is there because God is a God of justice. But I'll tell you, I'm not crying for justice. I want mercy. I want mercy. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner, lost and dying. Save me. That's my cry, is for mercy. It is for mercy. For the unsaved, conviction comes. For the believer, there's gratitudes. Oh, when we realize we're never going to have to go there. Never, ever are we going to be in that horrible place. We're going to be in heaven forever and for all eternity. And for the church, one of the implications is what we do matters. We need to be telling the lost. We need to be a rescue mission. And there are lost people all around us. Several years ago, when my little granddaughter was 8 years old, I preached a revival in her church down in Texarkana, where she was going. And I preached on this hell. And when it was over, she was 8 years old, and I remember she came and she said to me, Papa, why hasn't anybody ever told me this before? She was 8, and she thought, that night she was saved. She gave her life to Christ. She was born again. But her word was, Papa, why hasn't anybody ever told me about this before? And it may well be that your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your little children, those around you, your loved ones, wouldn't it be horrible if someday they said, all of that was true, but you never told me. You never told me. You never gave me the good news how to be saved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. And I just pray that you'll help us to see the truth of your word. I hope and pray that no one in the sound of my voice today will go to this horrible place. They don't have to. They're not predestined to. I pray that they will hear the good news, be convicted of their sin, and repent of their sin and come to you in faith and be saved. Lord, I pray that in your precious name, that all who need to be saved will be saved, even as a result of this truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making salvation possible for all of us. making it possible for us to go to heaven and not to hell. In your name we pray. Amen.